The only thing that these eyes have seen is seen spiritually. Just thankful that I've had a glimpse of what heaven can be. But even though after I get there, it's going to be better than that. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. All right. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. But I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture over here in Psalms 52, I think. No. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, let's see. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. It says in verse 1, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of the wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide with me. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve me. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Over here in Luke chapter 18, we'll see these words right here. In verse 35, it says, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, he said, by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitudes pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word this morning. And, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just set me out of the way, Father, where you can come, and Father, where you can preach and unto the people, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you give us all something anew, fresh and anew this morning, Father, because we're coming to thee, and Father, that you may send us a message from heaven, from the throne room of God. And we just want to thank you, and we want to love you, because this is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, here, back over there in the book of Psalms 61, we hear the word, "Hear my cry." We're seeing people today, all around us, they're in the same boat. They're in the same need today, and they're crying out for help. I believe that they're crying out for the local church. I believe they're crying out for the people that is true to God, the people that are led by God. And not only do we see where he's cried out, but we can also see where in verse 3 it says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." We see here in the book of Psalms that where he's speaking about the tower. He's speaking about the strength of the Lord God Almighty. And we need God's strength. We need God's encouragement each and every day as we go through life. Because the devil is no match for any of us. And if people think that they can go up against the devil, then they're wrong. They're sadly mistaken. Because the devil will always bring down a Christian. The devil will always bring us down if we allow the devil. And it does not take but one little mistake. It doesn't take but one step in the wrong direction for the Lord to take us down. But we need the Lord God Almighty living among us. And we must pray out to God as we go out and as we visit people and as we talk to people. Last afternoon, I called some people that I've seen here lately, and I've talked to them. But last night, I don't know what it was. I couldn't catch them all at home. I couldn't catch them at home. But one thing about it, every last one of them has their answering machine. You can leave a message with people. And I left a message with each and every one of them. And there was one that I left a message with that he'd been having some problems here lately, physical problems. And I left these words with him, and I told him, I said, "Brother Ricky, I said, I'm just letting you know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God to touch your body." And we need to pray that way. We need to pray that God will touch them in a way that will bring them into the house of God. And the reason, I mean, he's saved. He ain't been saved about a couple of years. But I'm scared he's about ready to get out of church because of some things that's going on at the church he's at. But I try to be an encouragement to him. And I try to tell him, I said, "You need to stick in now. Don't just get up and leave because of something the pastor may have said or something like that. Because if you don't watch it, you'll end up out of church. Don't get out of church. If you come to the..." And then, which I told him this at his workplace, went to see him one day, and well, I had to go over there and make a purchase at Lowe's, and he works over at Lowe's, and I happened to see him, and he asked me, he says, "Is there anything I can help you with?" I said, "Well, yeah, you can tell me exactly where this is at, and so I wouldn't have to walk all over the store." So he did. And he was telling me about some health problems. And he was having kidney stones, and looked like every day that he was having more and more of them. And the surgeons told him that he didn't know what it was, but it looked like he had an old time factory there. It's just just building up kidney stones and everything. And he says, we're going to have to crush them if you don't hurry up and get rid of them. He says, well, you're going to have to do something then, because I don't know. But I had prayer with him there. I don't mind praying for people. I don't mind going out if I'm in public, right there in Lowe's. I had prayer with him. And it wasn't a prayer that where it was just me and him could hear. I just prayed. I didn't pray real out loud and holler, nothing like that. But I wanted to let, and I wanted at the time when I done it, I won't doing it as a show, and I never am doing it as a show. But we need to let people know where we stand and how we stand. I mean, hey, if a store manager want to come to me and say, well, you can't come in here and you can't pray in here. Well, I say, well, if I can't pray in here, then the best thing I can tell you, you need to put a sign there on the door. It says it, when you come in, you can't pray. But you better put a sign up there too, that once you walk through these doors, you cannot curse either. Ain't gonna be long.
That's right.
But, you know, people today, we are Christians. We are so tenderhearted. We don't want to offend nobody. And I'm not offending people. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not ashamed of my Lord either. He wasn't ashamed of me when he sent his son Jesus Christ to Calvary. But we see there where in Psalms chapter 76, we're back over here in Psalms, where was it at? Pardon me. Where he cried out. Where he cried out to the Lord. You know, we haven't, like I said earlier, we don't realize it, but people are crying out. People are hurting, and we don't know what they're hurting from. But I think that they want us to be able to be kind to them. We don't need to go and tell them that they need to be in church. I don't need to go and tell them that they're living in sin. They know they're living in sin. And they know they need to go to church. The only thing that they need from me is an encouragement. An encouragement to where they might want to come to church. And we need to brag on the Lord more and more every day. I'm not ashamed of him. But here, go back over here to the book of Luke. We see a man right here. He cried out. We see a man. Not only did he cry out, but we also see a man that he wants the touch of the Lord on his life. I want the touch of God on my life every moment of every day. And you should want the touch of God on your life every day and every moment of the day. And we need not to give up. And we haven't give up. We ain't give up. Me and Brother Bill was talking day before yesterday, it might have been yesterday, I don't know, last night or sometime, for about 20 minutes, an hour, or something like that, I don't know. But we was talking. And I said, you know, we need to put some things in practice. You know, it's easy to talk it. It's easy to speak it out and to allow somebody else to hear it. But then when it comes down to us as an individual, it's hard for us to accept it, that we must do it first. Now, I know what some of y'all said to hear last Sunday night or past Wednesday night or whatever or and everything about us, why we start doing it now and everything. It's getting a little chilly. Well, hey, yes, it's getting a little chilly. Matter of fact, I'm getting mighty used to the cold weather. I'm getting real used to it. So it ain't going to bother me one bit. But one thing about it, I can always put me a coat on, a little heavier coat. And as far as I know, that there are still places downtown that I can go into, and I can buy me a pair of long johns too. And not only that, they can have batteries on them where I can get warmer if I need to. But you know, we've been talking about faith. And this right here, this individual right here is talking about faith. This, you can look at these verses of scripture where the blind man was healed. But how was he healed? He was healed, why? Because of faith. How is Faith Baptist Church going to end up growing more than what it is right now and have new people coming in? We got to put our faith into practice. Not just say it. And I think really, the time of the year is not to wait until spring and summer when it gets warm downstairs or warm outside, 100 degrees outside, so it can be warm downstairs. I think it'd be putting our faith into practice. We just said, well, we're going downstairs. And I'm not asking nobody. I'm not begging nobody to come and go downstairs. I'm not doing that. But if nothing else, if you don't feel like coming and going downstairs in the cold air and everything, I understand that. But you can pray for me. When I come, I'm coming. And I'm going down there. And I'm gonna start with one room. Everything that's in that room is going to come out, and I'm going to put the chairs back in there. There's nothing going to be in there but the chairs and what's supposed to be in there. I want the church to grow.
Amen.
I want to see new blood in it. You know what's going to get us excited? What's going to get us excited? It was simple when we see new people coming in. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've heard it that,
well,
we ain't got nobody coming in. Ain't but eight of us now.
We don't have any people coming in now.
Well, I look at it this way. We need to start somewhere. We need to get at least one or two rooms down there straight to where
when they do come in, we got a place for them to go to.
And if we go down there and do our part and straighten up and everything, if I do my part, then God's going to do his part. But I see right here what I've just read today, that God was telling this blind man right here, and I believe it's in practice for today. It's for practice for us today. Before God can bless us, before God can bless me, I gotta bless him first. I've gotta bless him. I've gotta do something for him, and I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing anything for him. What do you say? You see, y'all preaching, you coming down to church and you visiting a little and everything, you calling people, you doing your part. Hey, I'm a Christian just like anybody else in here. First of all, I've got to do my Christian duties. I've got to do what God commands me to do as a Christian. Because I know that God's called me to preach, and I know that, and I'm so glad he did. Because I love it. But also God has called me to do something else too. He's asked me to go and do his work. And if I don't do his work out here, can't nobody else do the work that is set for me to do. But the blind man right here, verse 37, he says, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. A multitude. Anytime Jesus comes around, multitudes of people went up to him. Why did they go up to him? Because they wanted to touch him. They wanted to see this man that was called Jesus. They wanted to see this man that was called the Messiah. They weren't worried about everybody else around. They were worried about getting to him themselves. And we need to be the same way. We need to worry about not what everybody else around us is doing, not about what the Tabernacles down here is doing, not about what Victory out here is doing, not about Welcome is what they doing, and all the other churches, but what are we doing? Are we going to be just the one that sets back and say, well, you know, we got a building here that's so nice, comfortable, and 8, 9, 10 people. But we should not just occupy the building just to have 8 or 9, 10 people. We need to cry to God and say, God, where are you? In verse 38, speaking to the blind man, crying out. Because see, Jesus was on the way to Jericho. And Jesus hadn't got to Jericho. He was on the outskirts of Jericho. But it says, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on him. I mean, he wanted to get to him. But before he got to him, he just cried out. And he asked him, he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. Other words, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But the blind man that we're speaking about, he says, I didn't get in touch. He must not have heard my voice before when I cried out to him. But he says, now I'm going to cry to you a little louder. And he said, but he cried to so much more. And then he said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wanted to get Jesus' attention. How many churches you know of today that really wants to get his attention? Oh yes, they come in and they got these big screens on the side and they got the Bible and everything on the screen and everything where the people like in the congregation, they can read the verse of scripture the way the preacher's preaching from. And yes, and they got songs up there that they can sing the songs that they're singing. And then a whole lot of times, if they don't watch it, then they get into the realm of singing the song. They'll sing maybe two verses of it, and then they start repeating themselves. To me, I say this. If your pastor of the church has got to have somebody and got to buy these great big screens and put them on a wall and stuff like that so they can have the Bible on it, what's the problem? The preacher's not teaching the people that they need to come and bring the Bible. Hey, coming to church without your Bible is like getting out here on the highway in your automobile where you don't have no seat belts. You don't have nothing else there to protect you. And it's just made of tin cans or something like that. You're waiting for danger to happen. You're waiting for something to come your way to tear you down. That's the reason I like to take my Bible to church. Not just because I'm a pastor.
Not good. I mean, yes, I got an iPad right here.
I got an iPad right here. I got to where I can put notes in it. Not only that, I got it to where there's already got some extra notes in it that I can go to, and it helps me and everything. But I don't read the scripture from that. I do read the scripture from the Bible. Because it's even here in the Bible, I know that it was put out there by man. But I believe that every Bible that they put out here in the King James Version, this is me, I believe when they write and when they wrote the Bible and they put it on paper for us to be able to look at and be able to read and be able to handle it, they just didn't get in there and just to write it. They went over and over. In the word, here in the Bible, it teaches us that it was over 50 individuals that had a hand in writing the Bible. Over 50 individuals that had a hand in it. And you know, the only thing I can think about is the individuals that wrote the Bible, and when they were writing the Bible, they probably took them down. They probably took them one book at a time. They said, well, you're going to take this book, you're going to take this book of the Bible, and you're going to take this book, and we're going to transmit it from the Hebrew to English speaking. We're going to do the Greek the same way, from the Greek to the Hebrew. And not only that, but when you get right down to it, then we got the Hebrew. It's been written in Greek. And it don't never stop. They read it. They reread it. And ain't no telling how many times they didn't reread it. But what they do, they probably took a book at a time. And they probably maybe three or four people, maybe three or four of my at one time, read one particular book. And they read that book over and over and over again. But not only that, then we have the individuals that have went and supplied us with the Word of God, that they come back and they put footnotes at the bottom. In the Bible that I carry, the Scofield Bible, well, C.I. Scofield, he puts his footnotes at the bottom. And he's got other references there too. But we also have the most precious thing that we can come up with, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God should be precious, teaching every one of us. We should not go around like this, swinging it. If we do anything, we should maybe fold it up and put it up here next to our heart. Because it says in Psalms 119, and verse 11, I think it is, it speaks of the Word. What it's saying there is,
that we must take the Word of God and hide it in our heart, that we may not sin against God. In other words, what the psalmist David is saying, that he says, Thy word. We must take His word and hide it within our heart. So if we come up against the devil right here, we can say, devil, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not going to defeat me today, hallelujah. Claim the blood. That's what we need to do. We need to start claiming the blood every time the devil comes upon us and attacks us. We need to claim the blood because he don't like the blood. He don't want to have nothing to do with the blood. But I'll say this. I don't want to have anything to do with the devil, but I want to have everything to do with the blood. I want to have everything to do with my Lord and my Savior. I don't never want to be ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of the salvation that He so freely gave me when I called upon His name. And I'm not ashamed of and what He's asked and what He's called me to do. I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. To come right down to the point, if I had to give up preaching because I couldn't be steady on my feet and I couldn't walk and I couldn't go nowhere. If I had to give up preaching, Lord, my woman won't take me home. Yeah, I love my wife and I love my daughter. I love the church right here. I love each and every one of you. I don't want to be separated from none of us. I don't want none of us to be separated one for another one. I just want us all to be able to unite together. Unite together, why? Because of Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. He done so much for me. He's done so much for you. And He has done so much for Faith Baptist Church. And you mean the reason I'll say this. A whole lot of people and a whole lot of Christians I hear, they don't understand it. And they say, well, you don't have a Bible. How many of you got down there? I said, on Sunday morning we usually have between 8 and 9. This comes. How many of you got coming on Sunday night? 8 and 9. How many of you got coming on Wednesday night? 8 and 9. I said, I got 100. I said, I don't have to worry about it. Because I know they're going to be there. I tell them, I bet that I am the only pastor of any church in the city of Danville and in the city of Pennsylvania County right now has 100% attendance. He said, 100%? He said, you ain't got that many people. I said, it don't make no difference. We don't have one on roll. If we've got one on roll, we got 100%. And I said, that's what you got to look at. I says, but not only that, I look at it this way. I says, how many did you have this morning? Oh, we had eight. Had to end up leaving and going to work a little early. I said, but they was there for Sunday school, started that. They stayed there for preaching some of it. I said, but I look at this way. I says, we just didn't have eight. We had 32. How many did you have? They said, well, we're growing. I said, you are? Yeah. When was the last time you had somebody saved in your church? Well, it's been several years, but you know, the church doing pretty good. It's growing and everything. I said, the only thing that's going on that I see is going on is just transferring of membership. And I said, if you're going to just transfer membership, you need to let them know, first of all, that before they can come in and want to do something in the church, like teach or do something else in the church, that they need to come in and they need to prove themselves. They need to prove themselves to God. I said, because I do not need other pastors' troubles. I said, because the churches today has so much going against them. And the reason for that, and the reason for that is, I believe this, is that they allow them to come in and the first thing you know, they'll be up there leading the choir or whatever. Well, right now, we even had a choir. We wouldn't have it many up there, but hey, I ain't never led a choir, and I don't know if I could, and I doubt it perversely if I could or not. But I'd do what I could. But this man, this blind man,
he finally got to see Jesus. And he said unto Jesus, Jesus asked him, he asked the blind man right here, he says, what do you need? He's asked him, what do you want? It's just like us today, we want this and we want that, and we want this and we want that. No, we just need what the Lord wants us to have. And I have a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, and I have food in my stomach. I mean, what else is it for him to give me? Nothing. He's given me life. He's given me life. I was watching yesterday afternoon on the TV. And on this particular program there, they had a trial, and they was in there talking to the one that was going on trial. And they give him a chance to confess him what he done or show him where this individual was at or whatever. And says, all you have to do is just share that with us. Let us know where they're at. And we will not
We will not put you to death. We will not stick a needle in your arm. But then he said, all you have to do is just give us the information we need and what we'll do. You're going to prison. And for the crime that you committed, you're going for life. The crime that I committed, I'm going home. For the crime that I committed, I'm getting life. I'm getting life. But praise God. He's the life that I want to be around. He's the one that I want to be around. And tonight I may just... I didn't really finish what I wanted to say here, but tonight I may just try to finish it up because it takes... over in the next chapter. But at this time, I'd like for everyone to stand. I'd like for everyone that will this morning. Before we even, we don't even need no music for this. I think it would be appropriate if we just come to the altar. If we just come up front and just pray, that we need to put our faith.